2022. Guess who's back? Back again. The Rebel Radio Podcast is back. I was trying to be funny there. And then with it comes Prime. I was just reading right before we got on here. I guess Dollar General, the stores have like these very loyal people that like are going online and complaining that they're going to be $1.25 for everything. I'm like, there's a cult of Dollar Tree people. I'm like, seriously, reading this. And I was like, this is wild, man. These people take their fucking Dollar Tree really seriously. Like, they're online and pissed off that things are going to be $1.25. I was like, wow, that's kind of scary. In a little bit.
Well, just follow the hee-haw.
The hee-haw?
Yeah. And with it, dude, they're such nasty stores. I mean, we've all been at a Dollar Tree, but they're disgusting stores. They're dirty. They really don't clean them up. But they're also like, they're kind of like Walmart. They're a necessary evil at times. You got to go in there and grab something, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. Stocking stuffers for Christmas. Little,
You know, bags for wrapping gifts. Why are you going to go pay $4 for a Walmart bag when you go in there and get a bag for $1, you know? And they are kind of necessary evils. And then Netflix is raising prices again. It's like, you know, you try to get rid of cable and all these streaming services keep going up. So welcome to the 2022 inflation world.
Yes.
But this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the new year, baby.
Yeah. Happy New Year, guys, to y'all and to all our listeners. And we hope you had a wonderful holiday season. I actually had a really good holidays this year. You know, it's coming up on 3 years since the old wife separated and all that stuff. And so those first couple of years of holidays, you know, weren't quite what they used to be. But this year, I actually really, I really enjoyed them this year. I had a nice time. Some sense of normalcy in my world. The kids were happy. And so that made it a happy dad. And, you know, so it was all good. What are you drinking, Matt? That was very orange.
Orange juice. Vitamin C, man. Juice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering.
With pulp. And,
with pulp. Yeah, I don't really like mine with pulp. Maybe a little bit of pulp. I don't like a whole lot.
Yeah, it's not that it gets pulp. It's not the high pulp.
Yeah. Yeah, I like just
honestly, bit, so. For me, yeah, I like a medium. But every time I have like a cold or flu, I drink a cup of like medium pulp orange juice and I'm good the next morning.
Something about orange juice just makes you feel good when you have like a sinus thing going. It just feels right. And you know.
Keeps the scurvy.
But yeah.
The scurvy. Yeah, it's
the scurvy. But the holidays are over. We are in a new year and we are back after taking a couple weeks off and recharge our battery, so to speak. And I came home today and I watched the movie that we're doing today and I actually really fucking enjoyed watching this movie again quite a bit more than I was expecting to. And so excited to talk about it. And how was your guys' New Year and holidays? All good for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, Long works in the wine business, so he's like, oh, fuck that shit.
It was the roughest. It was the most difficult week I've ever experienced working at my job. Because, man, we had like so many people out with COVID protocol, and it was so bad that we ran that they had to pull people from the warehouse to help make deliveries. Wow. That's never happened ever, you know, pulling people from the warehouse side to make deliveries. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was rough. It was really rough. And I was just glad that we didn't do a show. Because I would have been able to make it. It was that bad. It got really late. Man, I would have been,
been hurt. Would have been
just quiet the whole time. Yeah, yeah. But anyways,
glad you.
I'm just glad that we were able to recharge our batteries the last 2 weeks, and I'm just in a better mood overall.
There we go. Coming in fresh. Some
minor setbacks.
Yeah, no, I New Year's, I downed a few whiskey and cokes on New Year's Eve and felt pretty good listening to World War III outside with all the fireworks and everything, but, you know, so
other than that,
it was good. I took in the New Year's by myself and that was okay, and the kids were in bed and I just had some dad time, you know. Nothing weird like that or anything. I can see y'all looking at it. Just some drinks and chilling. Yeah. So, but it's all good. But I have watched a few things I've enjoyed. So let's get into the show then, man. We got a lot to talk about today as our 2022 premiere episode. And so let's get into this, man. Download this. That's where we tell people what we streamed, watched, checked out. And I'm sure we all had time to watch some stuff over the last couple of weeks. I want to go first because I want to talk a little bit. You guys already talked about this, and I finally sat down and watched The Matrix Resurrections while I was home. And I know you guys talked about it in the last episode. And man, it's one hell of an ambitious movie. That's kind of the way I looked at it. I didn't hate it. I side a little more with Long. I know Long liked it a little bit. I kind of liked it, but I didn't like it at the same time. Like, I think the second hour of the movie is pretty solid, but the first hour is just like, there's almost too much going on in that movie, that first hour. And it's just like, they could have split it up some, maybe made two films. I don't know. But once they get Neo settled into the new Matrix or whatever it is, and he's helping them and he does his thing and he's fighting and they're trying to save Trinity and all that. I think that part of the movie is really good. But that first hour is like, wow, what am I watching? And it's so fucking meta. It's weird. Like, it almost took me out of the film a few times. They're talking about Warner Brothers and Matrix video games and all that. It was really, really kind of bizarre. And obviously we're going to some spoiler here, but the movie's been out a month. So you've had time to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as bad as people were making it out to be, but it's not that great either. It's kind of a middle of the road film. I expect a little bit more from the action scenes. Like, Neo does nothing but push people with his hands. It's like, no, there's nothing memorable about the action scenes at all, unfortunately. And it's a shame. There seemed like there's a lot of potential in that film, and a little disappointed overall, but I'm kind of in the middle of it. You like Long seemed to like a little more than Matt did a couple weeks ago. I'm kind of on the fence, kind of in between y'all, I guess, a little bit with it. Didn't hate it, but didn't love it either. You know? And
I thought it was average.
Yeah,
they definitely did some smoke and mirrors at the end too by hiding the CGI in the dark at nighttime, and I'm like, okay. This is not the Matrix that I remember that they would try to hide their special effects in the dark, you know?
And there were some things like Neil Patrick Harris's character, like, was he supposed to be like a master program? Like, was he like the architect in this version? Some of it I got lost in translation is what was going on.
Yeah, what I took from it.
A newer version
of the architect. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there were some things like that that just, and again, I think that's a part of it. There's so much going on in the film that I was like, okay, wait, what is this guy doing? What is this person doing? I was trying to put it all together as it was going. You know, it's, I don't know. I was hoping for better, but we got the version we got. And, you know, I think if anybody's out there listening, it's worth watching. If you saw the other three, at least, I mean, but if you never watch it, you're not going to miss anything either. You already had a complete story with the original three.
Yeah. You know?
And my other one small thing was, I felt like, I don't know, man. Did you feel like Keanu was just, I don't want to say he mailed it in, but he just seemed kind of uninterested. Mm. You know, it's like he seemed more uninterested in the movie than he did even doing Bill and Ted. At least watching Bill and Ted Face the Music, he looked like he was having fun. This one, he just looked like, yeah, I'm here. Too.
He's like, do I get the fly? No, sorry. Ah, well, cool martial arts, right? No.
Yeah.
Actually, Trinity saves you. You know, you can't get it up at the end. You try and get it up, but you can't. And then Trinity saves your ass, you know? So, you know, she's
I was kind of okay with that change, you know, making Trinity like the one. But yeah, just Keanu seemed really
uninterested. Listen to this. Matt's masculinity is being attacked because Trinity is here.
Darn, there it goes. It's down the drain.
There it goes.
Now I have to go watch Arnold carry the log in the beginning.
My manly men are being desecrated because of femme power.
I'm going to go mow my lawn with the helmet from the Gladiator.
Oh no, I'm gonna go mow my lawn with a freaking scythe. How's that?
We got some manly movies coming up, Matt. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Today's movie's pretty manly.
So he can rub the testosterone all over his face and feel good again. No.
That's right.
I want to save Book of Boba Fett for the end. We can all three talk about it. But I watched the new Disney film Encanto. It's actually cool. Really good, as expected from Disney. I sat and watched it with Waverly, and she loved it, and all the singing and stuff in it. Really nicely animated film. I don't know if the songs were maybe as memorable as I know the soundtrack's doing extremely well. The Bruno song is real popular. I didn't feel the songs mm-hmm. were as it's from the same songwriter as Moana, but I didn't feel the songs were as good as Moana's songs. But they weren't bad either. But a really nicely animated film for sure, and a nice little story, well told, as Disney does good on, and I actually enjoyed it. So you watching Encanto too, Matt?
Yeah, and I pulled a U, Mark. I called it at the beginning of the film. I watched it with my wife and her sister, and I was like, I said, "Oh, let me guess. The story is everyone's special, even if you don't have powers." And she's like. Well, yeah. And I was like, at the end, of course, they're like, it's okay. I love you. You're special because you're you. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's the thing.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then my son, he's if everyone's special, then no one is.
But yeah, it was kind of just a story, but it was a neat movie though, you know?
It's a movie, you know, and I liked it. I was like, oh man, are the Hispanics going to beat the Samoan Disney film? And I was like, no, Moana is still number one, man. Take your pick from any of those Moana songs, Shiny, How Far I Go. What Can I Say Except You're Welcome? They're all just top notch. But Bruno's good, and then that the drip 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 song, I forget what it's called, with the strong one, I forget the strong lady's name. Luisa. Okay, my wife's correcting me or instructing me, but she's cool. I like her because she's just like carrying donkeys on her, you know, and just moving mountains and stuff. And I'm like, oh, it's like the female Arnold, you know, if Arnold was, you know, Hercules. I like it. I don't want to get into too much spoiler, but cool songs. It's definitely about family. And just like, you know, traditional Hispanics, they'll, you know, live in the same house. And I thought that was cool. I was like, saw a lot of cultural things. And I thought it was fun, man. You know, I think Disney, they hit it on the head, you know, with Encanto. You know, it was cool to watch. The kids liked it. Family liked it. And I'd probably watch it again, you know. Not as much as I'd watch Moana. Moana's like a top five Disney film, I feel like. This one's definitely in the top 10 or top 15. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. What did I watch this? Are you done, Mark?
I finished the first two seasons of Yellowstone. I can see why that show is very popular. It's very well written. We do cover Westerns on this show, so it's close to the genres we cover because it's like a neo-Western. Extremely well written show, though. It's kept me up some too, because like, man, there's these episodes that something will happen. You're like, God dang, I gotta watch the next one. You end up watching two episodes, and it's really good, really well acted. Kevin Costner's really good in it, really well written. And then I still have two episodes left of Cobra Kai. I haven't finished it yet. I have the last two episodes to watch. I've been watching about one a day because, man, I feel like Cobra Kai, I don't want to blow through it too quickly because then I don't have any more to watch. But my overall review, I have two episodes left, and my overall review is I don't like this season as much as the other ones. I think it's okay. It's starting to fall into trappings of the same shit happening over and over and again. You know, and it's like they need to end it after maybe five seasons because it's just starting to get it's forgivable to a point, the bad writing, it's forgivable to a point, the bad writing, but now it's getting to the point where it's just like you're shaking your hand at stuff, and you're shaking your head at stuff that you're just like, no, this is just too stupid. Like, this is a small spoiler, if you don't mind, Long. Like Silver, for instance. Oh, okay, go ahead. He's rich. He's filthy rich. He's sitting there. He's living a good life. And then all of a sudden, Kreese comes up to him and says, hey, we got to finish what we started. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm living a good life. Then, like, an episode later, Kreese shows up at Cobra Kai. Like, you know what? I'm bored. I'm going to go fuck with some kids. It's stupid writing. Why would Silver do that? He's rich. He has no need to go mess with these kids. It's stupid. It was stupid writing. And so the show's starting to get a little worn. And it's just like,
wow, this is firing Mark up. I've never heard him fired up.
And I'm still enjoying the show. Don't get me wrong. I am.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's getting worn, the writing.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. You know, that's quite the reaction.
I kind of like the cheesiness. I love cheesiness. I enjoy it.
To a point.
Yeah.
But that's my thing. Rocky references. And I was talking to my brother-in-law, and he there was one reference. My brother-in-law, Clay, agreed. Clay said, yeah, it's starting to get a little worn with all the – there's cheesiness to a point where you can't – you can forgive cheesiness, but you can't forgive stupidity. And some of the writing this season is just plain stupid. Okay, maybe that's a better way to put it, you know. But I'm still enjoying it, you know, for what it is. Yeah. So,
I mean, they work in that teenage drama stuff. That's – you know, kind of dumb to me. I wish they would focus less on that and maybe more on the stuff that works, like the comedy stuff. I feel like that's really cool. But yeah, you can't do too much of a heavy hand with it.
Oh,
there's a Rocky III and Rocky IV reference in it, and I love that.
The whole subplot with Daniel's son that they like, oh, we forgot he has a son. Maybe we should put him in this season. And it's dumb. It's like, it's pointless. It's just like, cause it almost is like, oh, we forgot he had a son. Let's write him into the show.
Yeah. That could, if they would have scrapped that and then went with, you know, maybe going on a storyline about Hawk, some more Hawk stuff, or maybe some more stuff with Miguel.
Well, I'm okay with them backing off on Hawk because they did so much with him in the other seasons. But, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think the writers, maybe one more year, finish it up and be done with it.
You know, I didn't see as many Cord's banquets in Johnny's hand this season.
Oh, he still drinks kind of plenty. Disappointed.
He does. But
so other than Boba Fett, here we'll talk in a minute. What else? Elon, anything you checked out last couple weeks?
No, not really. Not even anime because it's like a
slacker.
Break. Yeah, I managed to get like five or six characters out of 17 to level 90 top level in level. In FF14,
and how many characters?
It's like it's actually one character with 17 jobs that you can switch.
I was like,
between.
Damn, yeah. I have trouble just leveling. We're allowed on Galaxies. You're allowed 5 character slots. I have trouble just leveling 3. It's like let alone 7.
Yeah. What's nice about this game is that you can have as many jobs as you want, but you can switch between it with one character. You know,
Nice.
So I managed to reach end game on Final Fantasy 14. I never did. Did I ever talk about? I'd finished the main story of the expansion.
I think you did last one episode. You said you raved about it and got a boner about it and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I still get a boner about it thinking about it.
Hey, you know, whatever gets you off, buddy.
Yeah. Anyways, besides Boba Fett, what else did I see? Nothing much, man. I actually been following some Twitch streamers too. It's not until this year that I finally, you know, checked out. Okay, why people are watching Twitch streamers? And there's this one Twitch streamer named Preach LFW. He's like from Manchester, England, And man, he's a pretty entertaining guy. The way he plays FF14 for the first time. So I'm just like watching his reaction to some of the stuff that I experienced in the main story. You know, it's like, oh, I got to see what he says about this, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's been a pretty chill way of decompressing from work. But yeah, it's just I'm actually going to save some stuff that I want to watch in 2 weeks because I'll be going on a week-long vacation soon. Right after we record my episode next week. So, but yeah. Oh wait, I've actually I bought a couple of Blu-rays, anime Blu-rays that were from the late 90s, and there was this anime that I watched called El Hazard. And it came out in the late 90s or mid 90s, and I'm just rewatching it, going down memory lane.
Nice.
Kind of holds up a little bit. But yeah, it's about three folks from high school, modern Japan high school, and they get transported to a fantasy world, and they're trying to like, okay, we got these weird powers and we need to try to find our way back home, basically is the gist of the show. So it's a pretty cool fantasy series.
What age? Is like a medieval kind of fantasy?
Kinda, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's medieval, but the magic is like some kind of lost technology.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, it's pretty cool. It's safe, I think. There's a couple of nudity here and there, but yeah, that's with any mid '90s anime.
It's true.
Not explicit nudity. It's just fan servicey stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's what I've done. Nothing too dramatic.
Nice. Well, we're ready to talk some Boba Fett then.
I was gonna go.
I thought we were doing our feature film first.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I guess because he had watched Encanto, I was thinking. Oh wait. No. I guess you can have a turn, Matt.
Yeah. If the course.
Okay, that's good, Matt. Moving on to. Yeah, I know, right?
I did, man. I was on the fence about watching Resident Evil because I had heard a lot of bad stuff about it. The reviews were bad, but then I saw an audience score, like a passable audience score of like a C rating, and I was like, I'm gonna.
I still can't believe you spent $20 to watch that.
No, it was still in theaters. I had a single showing for $7.55 at Cinemark, and I used I had three free tickets, so I used one. I went in, and I will say there's some wasted dialogue. I'm going to go into spoiler territory because the movie, you know,
I'm not watching it. That's
yeah, for sure. Probably not.
I'm never going to see it. Watching it.
I thought you saw this on streaming.
I did also split it with my sister, and we did split it and stream it also because Jackie wanted to see it. So she wanted to see it too because she played she didn't play Resident Evil 2, but she played 3, and she still has it on her PS1, or PS2.
Those reviews were so bad. I don't even see how.
Yeah. And I know I talked to y'all about it a little bit. The main things that bring the film down, the dialogue, it relies heavily on being nostalgic of the video games and playing the video games before you go in so that you have some kind of sense of what these characters, you know, had going on before this movie was put out. Like Leon, he's a rookie cop, but, you know, in the game, he handles the situation well. He's, you know, great, you know, and then in the movie, the dialogue is like, he's doesn't want to wake up. He's sleeping on the job. He doesn't know how to work a pump shotgun, but then somehow knows how to work a rocket launcher at the end of the film. and then some of his dialogue is, yeah, I guess you're wondering why a guy like me became a cop, huh? And Claire Redfield's like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, me too. And then that's it. the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, this is bad.
Lazy ass writing.
And yeah, Leon, he comes off as super incompetent. Claire Redfield's great. They capture Claire really good. Chris is well done. Wesley's okay. Jill isn't flushed out as well as I thought she was going to be. They did an okay job with William Birkin, but he's kind of rushed through. It looks like the game. That's probably the best part, but the dialogue sucks. Some wasted scenes. And then they compress like one and two into one film. You can't do that. You'd have to do it in two sections easily, but, wait till you can rent it and, you know, just spend like $4 on it or whatever, if you're interested. But it looks like the game, it follows the storyline. That's probably its strengths.
No Mila Jovovich?
I ain't watching. Mila Jovovich, because she's, you know, she's a character that was made up to kind of loosely tell you the story. But those movies are better, honestly.
Is this a CG movie or is it a live action?
It's live action.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Too bad it wasn't, CG.
You know, I'm sure, because, you know, the last Resident Evil movie, I don't know what the editor was on. Yeah, but dude, it was like a quick cut every 2 to 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Like the camera wouldn't stay still. It's like very disorienting.
That's what editors do when they try to save a movie and make it look more interesting.
Yep,
it was terrible. I mean, it was just disorienting. I've never seen a movie quick edited like that so much. Like a cut every 2 to 5 seconds. Like, what the fuck is going on with the editor here? You know?
Yeah.
So,
and not a whole lot of zombie killing. Surprisingly. Oh. That's another thing. I would have rather this, you know, if you're not going to develop the characters and have shitty dialogue, at least have a bunch of zombie killing action, but there's not. Other than that, Cobra Kai, I don't know. I'm not as hard on Silver as Mark is. But I can see his point. You know,
I've never seen part three, personally.
He basically turns into what he was from part three at the end. But the transition, yeah, does it seem like it's not very smooth? And, you know, maybe he could have just stayed home and had a better life. Yeah.
It's lazy writing.
Yeah. They loosely, you know, make it about the Vietnam War and that he promised him that he'd come back or, you know, during
even Vietnam. That's kind of thrown out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like it's not mentioned for like 7 episodes. And all of a sudden Kreese is like, don't forget what I did for you. Oh yeah, buddy. I won't forget. You saved my life. It's like, what? Yeah. It's just, oh man. I don't know. I can forgive some of it, but it's just like this season's, well, at least Peyton List is hot as hell in it. That dress she wears to the prom. Oh man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I had to make before I sent that picture of her. I was like, oh, let me make sure she's 23. So I don't, or in her 20s. So I don't.
Oh, she's of age. Trust me, buddy.
Yeah. but yeah, man, I do agree with you, Mark. I think one more season is probably what you can respectfully get from this.
Get out of the story.
Kind of dialogue, you know, maybe bring in the next Karate Kid and, you know, end it that way. But I do like what we get at the end. I won't talk about it much, but that last episode, towards the end is pretty cool. All I can say is Cobra Kai is screwed next year. They going to get whopped. Man, what did I watch? I watched something. Oh, I read The Hobbit, and I'm halfway through Lord of the Rings Fellowship, and I didn't know that there's like a lot of different some stuff in there that isn't depicted in the film. But I understand, you know, obviously you can't do everything. But Frodo waited 17 years for Gandalf to come back.
Yeah, you really want him to be you really want him reciting a bunch of fucking poems throughout the film.
Yeah, I know. Tom Bombadil. There's a guy named Tom Bombadil, and there was so much Tom Bombadil, I had the name stuck in my head. And you know.
But anyway, let's get done. Let's get to Boba Fett. Nobody cares about books. Nobody reads books anymore.
Oh, okay.
Comic books maybe. But yeah.
Yeah. Watch a movie. Yeah.
But
no books.
Yeah. But you know, this is a movie podcast, not a book podcast.
Thank you for telling me what I can talk about. Thanks.
Yeah, that's right, bitch. But you're going on and on and on. I was like, you had enough talk about a terrible Resident Evil movie. Let's talk about some Boba Fett.
Blah, 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 yaggedy schmaggedy, blah, blah, blah. So
as of today, there are the first three episodes of the Book of Boba Fett are out. And, man, I so far, I love it because it's pissing off the fanboys again. They're like, oh, what happened to the badass Boba Fett? Man, this is a different Boba Fett. He even says it. I'm not a bounty hunter anymore. I'm now a businessman. And I really kind of like it. If I had any beef with it, it's Tamara Morrison's acting at times. It's a little bit kind of, he's not real good, you know, but he's Boba Fett. That's all that matters.
It's true.
The story, I love the world. I like what Favreau and Filoni have been doing with The Mandalorian and now with this show where they're fleshing out the Star Wars world a little bit more. Because, you know, if you really take the original trilogies, we only see parts of the world, you know, and they're really taking things. We're getting to see a lot with the Tusken Raiders and the way the hierarchy of things work in these towns and stuff. And it's really cool to see and all the stuff in the background. And I think that's what I'm really enjoying about it. It's just the fleshing out of the world that I love so much. And then it being about Boba Fett and Fennec and everything is just a bonus. And so far, I think the flashback story is pretty interesting. Him working with the Tuskens and all that. People making a big deal about how he got out of the Sarlacc pit. It's not like it was in the comics. Who fucking cares, man? The point is Boba Fett's in the show, you know? And I think it's one of those things that there's so much hype behind Boba Fett for some reason for this character that was in the movies for 7 or 8 minutes and had a very popular action figure, and everyone had their own idea what Boba Fett should be. And so it's one of those things that people aren't going to like the ideas that they're giving us. But as I've gotten older, I've learned to accept things for what they are. And so far I'm liking, those are my initial thoughts on Boba Fett. I have more to say, but I want to hear what you guys have to say.
I like it.
Thanks, Frank.
First episode of 22 and there's a Frank shot. Hell yeah.
I figured Matt would get the honor.
Yeah.
I've always been doing it. I was like the only person doing it last year. I'm like, okay. I can't be the only one that wants to do that.
That is awesome.
I should have just went with yes.
Oh man, you know, if we bring him back for one episode, like 300 or something, he's gonna do that. We're just all gonna fucking start laughing so hard.
Oh man. Yeah. And yeah.
Oh, we will roll over laughing. Frank's gonna look at us like, what are y'all doing? Anyway,
but I'm so with you, man. Tusken Raider stuff, great. I like the new Fett. I think he kind of has to be that way. That way he's trying to form alliances. He's not trying to rule with an iron fist like Jabba. He wants respect. And he mentions that. So it ties in with that theme. And fanboys can cry all you want. Go get a diaper.
Oh, shit.
Go sleep in a crib, you know.
And then salvage your ruined childhood.
Yeah. Long. Your thoughts, man.
I like it so far. It's hit and misses here and there. Yeah. Like the first scene, I have to admit, the action scene with the shield bearers seemed a little awkward to me.
Yeah. Well, my thought was it felt okay. Robert Rodriguez directed that first episode, right? He's usually a really good action director, but I don't know if he's using a different choreographer, but it felt like really choreographed. It felt really like too perfect.
Yeah.
It felt off. Yeah. There was no like dirtiness to it.
Yeah. Okay. But I like it so far. It wasn't as captivating as The Mandalorian, admittedly. Because that show, it had me interested from episode one. And This one, it's a slow burn, but I do like the Sarlacc pit stuff. But I wanna ask you guys this, okay? And be objective as you can.
Mm-hmm.
In Return of the Jedi, did you think Boba Fett went out kind of in a very, I guess, a very funny way?
Yeah, like a bitch. Now,
he went out like a bitch, right? So, so I actually came up with a theory on why he went out like that. And this is my fan theory, right? I think, and you guys take note, and you can argue with me all you want to, because I think the reason why he went out like the way he did in Return of the Jedi is because he had way too many drinks on that party barge. I mean, think about it. You see R2 serving drinks, right? You don't exactly see Boba Fett drinking, but he's probably, I'm just assuming he is off camera.
All right.
So I bet you he was drunk while he was trying to fight Luke, you know? So he's not exactly in his A game at that point. Because I think when everyone was tied up, Han and the gang, they were all tied up, about to be thrown into the pit. I think he was pretty much thinking, oh, this is a layup. I don't need to, you know, worry about that.
Yeah.
That's my theory. What do y'all think?
I'll go with it.
Yeah? Okay. How about you, Matt? What do you think? Do you think Boba Fett was a little too drunk and that's why he went out the way he did? The Return of the Jedi?
Are we trying to be funny about it or what I really think?
No, just what do you think of my theory? Just
I think it's...
Is it feasible?
It's feasible. It's feasible. I don't know if he's a drinker type. He seems, you know, he always came off as this... as the solemn and, stoic one, you know, and
stoic,
stoic. Yeah. Stoic. All right. Thank you. What's and, I was like, what's that word again? Hey, you know what? Maybe he did. Maybe he's like, oh, we're on the eve of victory. I'm going to celebrate, you know, and he's
don't forget, he does have some moments of levity because don't forget, because during the Jabba music number, you know, Boba Fett did flirt with one of the chicks.
Yeah.
So there we go. Yeah. He's not completely stoic.
That's right.
So, anyways.
I was thinking about, okay, timeline-wise, okay, we know Mandalorian's about 6 years after Return of the Jedi. Like, so was he, if the flashbacks are taking place just months before he meets Fennec, so was he in the Sarlacc for 6 years and he can survive?
No, I just assumed that he was with the Tusken Raiders
for a while. Yeah, that's what I was wondering too about the timeline. So maybe he's with the Tuskens quite a while. Yeah, because that was one thing I was thinking about. Danny Trejo is now in the fucking Star Wars universe.
That is
awesome.
Yeah,
you know, Robert Rodriguez taking care of his buddy. You know, bringing him into the show. That was a welcome cameo, and I cheered that one. I was like, that is badass. You know. That was really cool, man. They gave us a little insight to the Rancors, that they're pets and they're misunderstood and they only fight if they're provoked. So that kind of made Luke be a kind of an asshole, man. Luke killed the Rancor for no reason, man. He just was misunderstood.
Yeah, man.
But I thought that was cool as shit, man, seeing Danny Trejo in the show. And how about the Wookiee bounty hunter from the comic books? Black Kerstanton, or however you say it. Dude, he's a badass, man.
That's a very intense looking Wookiee.
Oh yeah, and I felt the bad fight scene from Episode 1, which was directed by Robert Rodriguez, and then he directed Episode 3. I think he made up for it with the fight between the Wookiee and all the Fett's crew. So that was a much better action scene.
That was a good one.
Yeah. The CGI huts throw me off a little bit because, you know, we know they're filming The Mandalorian and Boba Fett with a lot of CGI backgrounds and stuff to save money and stuff. And it all looks great. But then they bring in the CGI Fets, and I thought they looked a little televisionish. Hmm. This is Disney Lucasfilm money. I felt like they maybe could have looked a little bit better. Because the Rancor looked good, but the huts looked a little off. I don't know. They looked a little like funky. So
funky. Yeah, and I can kind of sense there's some hints of maybe hut incest going on.
Yeah, you think with the huts? Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on there. But But overall, though, man, I think the Book of Fett's pretty interesting so far. I'm curious as to where they're going with it, you know, because it's 7 episodes. So we'll be talking about it over the next few weeks as we get to the conclusion and see where it all lands, you know. Because, I mean, obviously it's not going to be the end of Boba Fett. I'm going to be surprised if he shows up in Mando Season 3 or the Ahsoka show or one of these other shows that are coming up down the road. But overall, I like it so far. I'm with you. I don't know if I like it as much as I like The Mandalorian. And I don't think The Mandalorian's perfect. Sometimes Mandalorian became Adventure of the Week at times, but it was still really good. And so we'll see where Boba Fett goes as we move along.
Yeah. Move along. Move along.
That's right. Well, let's move along then to the our first feature film of the year. This movie is coming up on 5 years old already in a couple of months. And really, Matt, really.
Sorry, my weapons, genetically enhanced weapons came out. My claws.
You missed pump.
The X-25.
Man, you part Mexican. You ain't got nothing genetically enhanced, right?
Damn, anyway,
that was just too easy, man. The Hugh Jackman swan song to a character that he played for 17 years and directed by James Mangold, and who actually directed The Wolverine as well. And The Wolverine wasn't as well received, but they invited him back to direct this final film and is Logan, loosely based on the Old Man Wolverine comic books, but those comic books are quite different in some ways than this movie is. And basically, this is a story that takes place in the year 2029 so that it could avoid any they did that on purpose. They did that to avoid any continuity with the X-Men films. Even though it's the same universe, they wanted it to be its own thing. And an aging Logan and an aging Professor X are hiding out with Caliban, just trying to get away because Professor X is losing control of his mind powers and he's a threat to the world and around him. If he can't control it. And apparently we get hints that an accident happened maybe a year before this movie where several of the X-Men may have been killed by Professor X on accident. And that's why Logan's protecting him. And his plan is to get him offshore onto a boat where he can live out his last days. Mm-hmm. But things don't go the way he plans it as a woman shows up with a little girl looking for Wolverine's help. And he tells her no at first, but he ends up deciding to help her. And it gets him in the world of trouble he doesn't want as he finds out that there is a lab where they're working on mutant children, but trying to change their mutant abilities and perfect them in a way, and in some cases killing the mutant genes with this professor, which was played by, I forgot Richard Grant was in this movie till rewatching it today, plays the doctor who is working on these children, The lady is a nurse, and she helps several of the children escape, including this little girl named Laura, who turns out she's a clone of Logan's, essentially his daughter. And Logan, despite not wanting to help because he's old and gruff and pissed off with the world, he ends up helping Laura and tries to get her to a place called Eden where these other kids are, all along being chased by the Reapers. And what is the bad guy's name? I forget his name. Who also has a clone, a adult clone of Wolverine also fighting against him, which is some badass sequences. But essentially Logan has to save the day while also giving his own life at the end because he's dying from the adamantium poisoning his body. But he saves the children and he saves the day at the end. And it's basically a story of an old gunfighter or samurai, living out his last days and doing what's right at the end of the day. And it's a really great film overall. And, but that was the summary of Logan. I saw this in theaters. I'm sure you guys did too. It's not that old. And, as a long time Wolverine fan, you know, anybody listening to the show knows Wolverine's probably my favorite Marvel character. This is the Wolverine movie that I always wanted. It's dark, it's brooding, it's bittersweet. It's not a happy movie, but it's so good.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he
stop mid sentence. Are you
done? there was a thing in the sound, but it's okay. I was talking along about it, and you know, I had looked at it how you looked at it, Mark, for a long time. Yeah, this was you know, he's going out in a blaze of glory. You know, but, you know, I didn't pay attention to the sadness because, you know, I was looking at this, redemption storyline and this, you know, going out with a bang, going out, doing the right thing kind of story. And I didn't pay attention to how, you know, the sadness that's in there that you're like, hey man, you know, these guys, you know, they were once, you know, stout, powerful, you know, people. Now they're just dying before your eyes throughout the whole film. And I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, you know what? There is some of that in there too.
Logan's essentially a tortured soldier. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And I was watching it again and I was like, man, you know, I really wish he could have, you know, handled those cholos like from the get-go, from the beginning, but I like how he gets mad and just kicks it into gear and he still has that in him. I do like that stuff. It's a good film. I'm not going to knock the film. How you feel about the character, you know, being depicted that way. Obviously, Hugh Jackman, awesome in the film. It's still, to me, it could be the best X-Men film ever made.
Oh, I think it is easily.
Yeah. I think you could absolutely make that argument.
Patrick Stewart's great in this movie too.
Patrick Stewart. Yeah. And I was like, you know, I had kind of turned the blind eye to the sadness and talking along, you know, I was like, I kind of, you know, recognized that watching it the second time along. And I was like, oh man, you know, kind of put me down a little bit.
Well, I'm just going to say that this is the most depressing superhero movie out there right now, bar none.
More depressing than The Watchmen?
No.
Yeah.
The Watchmen was nihilistic for sure, but
right. Yeah. But definitely depressing. Yeah.
Yeah, it was depressing, but no, this is depressing on a more personal level.
Right.
I mean, it's just, man, I hated to see the way Professor X went out, you know, the way he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just I was a fan of Professor X.
Right.
For sure.
Oh, the whole scene in the house is brutal. I mean, yeah. from the family that took them in for a minute.
Yeah.
Played out like a horror movie.
But, you know, it's a well-made movie for sure. Not my favorite X-Men movie, I would say. And honestly, I don't have the same love for Wolverine as most people do. Yeah, as far as Marvel superheroes go, I don't even know who my favorite Marvel hero
is. But could you? I can see how it cannot be a favorite X-Men film. But do you agree it's probably the best X-Men film they've made though? Because I think it's better than all the other X-Men films.
Critically,
I can see how other ones could be favorite. But yeah, critically, it's definitely the best. Yeah.
Well, he wanted to make something more gritty, and he wanted to make a rated R film, and he even took
less money. Well, no, actually, Mangold didn't make it rated R on purpose. He said he let it naturally become rated R, and the brutality was part of it. You know,
I thought Hugh wanted that.
Well, Hugh wanted it to be rated R, but Mangold said he went into it when he wrote the screenplay and everything. He went into it with the mindset of I'm just going to make a Wolverine movie, and he said he let it naturally kind of become gritty and more violent, and that's why a lot of the violence in the scene in the movie is very realistic in some ways, as for a superhero movie that is, because he didn't want it to just be he said he didn't want it to just be violent to be violent. He wanted there to be a reason for it.
Yeah. I like the violence in this film. Whenever he cuts off the cholo's arm and the shotgun fires off, his arm still hanging onto the trigger.
Oh, it's an absolutely brutal film.
And then the dialogue, the dude's talking to him. He's like, a couple of feds found a couple of cholos cut up, you know, died, which is normal, but they figured it was done by a saber-toothed tiger or Freddy Krueger.
Not just the violence and brutality. Mangold's direction is he shoots his action scenes where they're not so close you can't tell what's going on, but it feels like you're getting punched in the face with these guys. I actually like the way it's shot in some ways. It gives it a brutality to it. Like you said, some scenes are almost like a horror movie. You know, especially the scene in the house when the clone, when the Wolverine clone walks in and does his thing. And but I like that the way that Mangold shoots the film for that reason. You can still tell what's going on. It's not close up like Michael Bay where you can't tell what's going on. It's close up just to give you that intensity.
Yeah, this this doesn't bode well for the next Indiana Jones movie, that's for sure.
That's right. He is directing that. Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, his heroes, you think about Mangold, he did 310 to Yuma. Yeah, he, his heroes die in their films, you know, don't they? In his films. Yeah. But I do like Mangold as a director. I think he's really good. I wish the Wolverine could have been a little better, but he made up for it with this film for sure. Cause this is an excellent movie. Hugh Jackman is fantastic in it. I know a lot of people made fun of Hugh Jackman, back when the movie came out about looking old at the end of the film, but there was actually a technique that, is actually very dangerous to do where Hugh Jackman basically dehydrated himself for a couple of days to make his skin look flabby and lose his water weight. That's why his muscles aren't as tight at the end, because he wanted his body to look like it was deteriorating from the adamantium disease. That's why he looks like that. It's not that he's old. He's in excellent shape. It was a technique he used, but they had doctors and physical trainers there the whole time to make sure he was okay. Yeah. But it's something that's very dangerous to do. For anybody. But that's why he looks that way at the end of the film. He wanted his body to look like it was falling apart.
Similar to what bodybuilders do before competition. Mm-hmm. That way there's no water underneath.
Yes. And because he was in excellent shape for most of the film. He said it was the hardest he had to train for any of the X-Men films, that he trained really hard for this movie. And you know, he was in great shape. And it shows throughout the film. You know, Hugh Jackman, they even had to put gray into his beard to make him look older, because he isn't gray yet. You know, his
not bad. Well, at least when almost being 50 years old.
Well, at least when he shot this film, he wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
And But
crazy. I like, man, how much he dedicated. And you know, he ain't a big guy, but man, you see him. And you're like, man, that guy dedicated time to get jacked and really look like Wolverine. And he just, you know, even with, you know, just across the career that he had as Wolverine, even not having the best script and having starred in some gaudy, you know, superhero films, you know, he always went 100% and he was always a bright spot, you know.
Yeah, for 17 years. I mean, he lucked into it. I mean, everyone knows he wasn't the first pick. That was Doug Ray Scott. And, you know, he's joked about, well, Doug Ray Scott got hurt filming Mission Impossible 2, which allowed Hugh to step in and take the role. And he's forever been grateful for it. You know, and he did dedicate to the fans. He came back for one more film. He never complained about it. Like, you know, sometimes, like with Daniel Craig finishing up his role as Bond, you know, I get a little tired of hearing Daniel Craig cry about things, you know, where Hugh never did. He did it for the fans. He was dedicated to it. And he's even to this day has never ruled out the possibility of maybe coming back. I mean, he says it in interviews every now and then. He jokes about it. It's probably unlikely, but you know, he hasn't ruled it out because he knows how important it was to people and to bring that character to the big screen. And he's even said it. It's going to feel weird one day whenever I go to the movies and I see someone else playing a role that I've made very popular. And he knows it, you know. And because he owes his career to this character. I mean, you know, he was a he had done some plays and some small acting roles, but Wolverine was his big break. And he gave it, like you said, 100%. He gave it to the fans for all these years, and he made the movies. And he's great in the role. Patrick Stewart is great in this film. That's one thing I really like about Logan too.
Patrick Stewart.
It's a really well acted film for a superhero film. As I was watching it today, I'm like, man, this is actually really well acted. Even from Holbrook, the bad guy, to the guy who plays Caliban. I mean, you have Richard Grant in this film, for crying out loud. I mean, he's a classically trained actor. And even the kids are really good. We haven't even talked about Laura yet. I mean, how good is Daphne McKee? I mean, she's excellent in this movie. The scene where she starts yelling at Hugh in Spanish was improvised for the most part, because she talked to the director if she could do it, and it works, and in fact it works so well that they had to do some takes again because he started laughing and he would ruin the takes because she would just go off on him. He just started laughing. He had a really good relationship with her, So I thought that was pretty neat because she's really good. Mm-hmm. And we thought we were going to get an X-23 film with her, but then, you know, we know Disney bought Fox and, looks like that's not going to happen now. It's a shame. I really feel like she really deserved her own film after this. And I would have loved to have, I would have loved to have seen it, you know, and, but we're going to get some new mutants in the Marvel Cinematic Universe eventually. Cause that's probably my biggest thing watching this movie. I was like, man, it really sucks that Daphne didn't get her own movie. Cause I really think she would have deserved it. You know?
I agree, man. I agree.
Well, she's in her own TV show on HBO.
That's when, right. She's in.
Yeah, she's in the new version of what's that? Daniel Craig movie, fantasy show, fantasy movie from way back.
Oh, the Golden Compass.
The Golden Compass.
Dark Materials or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot she was in that. But yeah, it's just a solid, solid film, man. And a good way for Wolverine to go out. I mean, it is sad at the end, depressing that, you know, he dies, but he got to spend time with his daughter and see what life was a little bit, you know, as this disgruntled kind of war-torn soldier who was just, you know, not at a happy place when the film begins. And but he does the right thing, and the parallels, as we know, I think when this movie first came out, I remember we talked about it on the show a little bit. It was in the old format of the show, and the comparisons to an old gunfighter or samurai, and obviously there's comparison of the movie to the film Shane, which is about an old gunfighter. Another improvised scene from Patrick Stewart as he improvises lines, talking about his own memories of watching the movie as a kid, and that's kind of how this movie is. Wolverine's like that old gunfighter, just going out for one last ride, you know. And the line in the movie Shane, you can't change anything you did, all the killings and all that. It's what you do as you move forward. And that's what he did. He moves forward and he saves these children. So. And the children, man, the children were brutal too. Shoot, the way they take out Holbrook's character.
Oh, yeah.
All those different mutant powers and twisted his body all up. I was like, God damn. Pretty wicked. Mm-hmm. But
I was surprised with the, I guess they had to have it in there. You know, the adamantium bullet. His house, where they gonna beat X-24,
right? And there was some flag back with some people saying like, oh, you can't just ignore X-Men Origins Wolverines. And it's like Hugh said, you know, he talked about that. He goes, hey, the movie still exists. Hugh realizes X-Men Origins Wolverines wasn't as well received, but it was still a part of the story, so it made sense to have the bullet from that movie in this to tie things together. You know.
Yep.
You know, so it's still, because you can almost, you know, it's funny, you can almost watch Origins, the Wolverine and Logan, and it's its own trilogy, because they're all tied together, essentially, telling the story of Wolverine. And, you know, and I've rewatched Origins, not recently, but within the last year or so, and I don't hate it as much as I initially did. You know, I kind of, like, I like it because of Hugh, you know? But the whole Deadpool thing at the end was weird, and that sucked, and, you know, but like, there's parts of the movie. There's some good action sequences in the film, you know, and the CGI claws. That was like, why did they do that? You know, but yeah.
But did you see? How about the first Man Gold Wolverine movie? Did you like that one?
I liked most of it. I think the last 20 minutes of the movie is a little messy. It's almost like they kind of rushed it. I felt like that watching it. Like they felt like they needed to end it. Like, okay, let's get to the end of the movie. And the last 20 minutes feel really rushed to the film. Like the whole thing where he's like trying to draw his animating out of that was all kind of not really explained real well and kind of strange. But overall, I liked it. You know, I mean, he has Wolverine with a sword. That alone is badass. So, yeah. But I don't like as much of this film. Like if I would say the Wolverine's probably a B+, where this is an A+ for me, Logan. I mean, I think Logan's an excellent movie. It's probably, I put Logan up there in my top five superhero films. I mean, easily. It's up there with The Dark Knight and a couple other films. It's one of the best superhero films made.
I'd have to agree. A+.
Yeah, I'll give it an A.
Cool, cool. AAA. AAA with a
minus. No.
Minus.
For being depressing. No.
Well, on that note, We're going to get to some news here in a minute, and we're going to look at 2022 a little bit before we get out of here. We retired the top five last month, but we will have a new segment in its place starting next week. We knew this premiere episode for the year would run a little long, so we didn't want to lose the new segment in the midst of it. So next week we're going to have a new segment. It's going to be a debate type segment called Duel of the Nerds, and we'll explain more about it next week on the show. So next week we will have that brand new segment for you. But let's talk some news and let's preview the year of 2022 before we get out of here. So there's another Zorro reboot in the works. We already know one is coming to Disney Plus. Robert Rodriguez is developing a Zorro reboot with a female Zorro for the CW. You know, it's got Robert Rodriguez behind it, but then I read the CW and I'm kind of like, it's like, because I think Robert Rodriguez is perfect to make a Zorro series. I think he'll do great. But then I see the CW and I'm like, it's like, couldn't it be a shop that to a better network?
Yeah.
Because Zorro is public domain. It's not owned by Disney. So that's why Disney can, because the character's been out long enough, so Disney can make their own thing and CW can do it too. But I'm just like, we'll see. We'll see. You know, and I'm fine with it being a female Zorro. That's cool. You know, whatever. You know, sounds like a cool idea. Mm-hmm. But it's on the CW. Good Lord. Another TV show in the works. Quantum Leap is going to get a reboot / sequel. I was a big Quantum Leap fan back in the day, and I don't know. You know, everything old is new again. you know.
I never finished you can do it, but I think it could work. Yeah.
I think you got to have Scott Bakula come back and play the computer guy.
Yes.
Since the guy who played Sam just passed away recently. Yeah, kind of flip the roles and have him come back and play not Sam. Why did I say Sam?
It just reminds me of that Quantum Leap episode where he leapt into a person with Down syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Raven Scott Bakula, and then he closes the door, and then there's a mirror reflection of the Down syndrome guy he leapt into.
Quantum Leap is
the one
visual.
I remember for some reason is the one where he had to leap into the woman, and she was fighting for like women's rights and stuff, and she had to kiss her husband at the end. And he had to basically kiss a dude.
My favorite two episodes were when he leaped into Lee Harvey Oswald. I thought those were really great. Really great episodes.
I didn't see that episode.
Yeah, man. It's a two-parter.
I caught it on reruns.
Yeah, I don't know if they're streaming anywhere. I'm sure Quantum Leap's streaming somewhere.
Yeah.
The Boys Season 3 is going to hit in June. Along with everything else, some COVID delays. Normally we get The Boys around March or April, but we're going to get it in June this year with three episodes on the day it premieres, and they'll put out the other ones as it comes along. So it's coming. We have to wait a little bit longer for The Boys Season 3. I know Long hasn't watched it, but me and Matt are fans. I really like that show, so looking forward to see what they do next. Netflix is working on a Scott Pilgrim animated series. That could work, you know, because yeah, we had the Scott Pilgrim versus the World movie, but there's a lot of Scott Pilgrim comics and stories they can pull from, so that could be fun.
Was that a picture of the new Ramona you sent earlier?
No, that was not the new Ramona, but I wouldn't mind her being the new Ramona. Disney Plus has a couple of new shows in the works. Tim Allen is going to come back and play Scott Calvin in a Santa Claus television series.
There we go.
The first two Santa Claus movies are pretty entertaining. The third one, not so much. But you know, Tim Allen's always good. And then they're also developing a show based on we just did a Hugh Jackman movie based on the Hugh Jackman movie, Real Steel. Did y'all see that with the fighting robots? I like that movie.
I know of it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah. It's a fun movie to watch, you know?
I like it better than Chappie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. And so they're developing a TV show on that. Dragon Ball fans, your Dragon Ball Super superhero movie is going to hit Japan in April 22nd. No U.S. release date yet, but it's still expected to arrive before the holiday season of this year for the U.S. fans. You know, because that's how long it'll take them to do the translations and all that. So your Dragon Ball Super superhero movie is coming out in the U.S. at some point this year. Expected to have a theatrical release, just like Dragon Ball Super Broly did. So you know, stay tuned for that. You know, obviously with COVID and stuff, you know, some of these specialty films, unfortunately, get lost in things right now because of things going on. But hopefully by December, Dragon Ball fans are able to go see that in theaters. I know my son will be wanting to see it in theaters if it's there. So, and then the last bit of news, it's going to lead into our 2022 preview. Is did you guys see the new Batman trailer with gave us a lot more Catwoman stuff in it? And I'm already sold on this movie, but this trailer just sold me even more on it. You know, the Batman is my most anticipated film for this year, and I know it comes out early, and it seems like I won't have anything else to look forward to, but that's not true. There's just plenty coming out, but I'm super pumped for this Batman movie. I can't wait to see it, and I think it looks fucking awesome. You know, they've been running some TV spots now. I've heard that there's going to be a lot running through the football playoffs over the next few weeks, so we'll get some good looks at the Batman coming out in March 4th.
I purposefully avoided more trailers. I didn't want to be spoiled any further, you know.
So that means you're sold on it already too, then.
Yeah, yeah. I the first two, the teaser and the main trailer. Yeah, I had to cut myself off from any other hype machine going into it, you know.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to try to watch it for sure.
Oh yeah,
I'm sold on.
Well, yeah, what's cool is like, in some ways, 2020 and 2021, we had a lot of movies not put out and delayed. But as of right now, it's making for one hell of a 2022 if all these movies come out. I'm just gonna kind of go name some movies off. But I mean, next Christmas we have Mission Impossible 7 coming out, which, you know, Fallout was fantastic. So we'll see where this series goes. We also have the new Aquaman movie due out at Christmas time.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, they wrapped shooting. It's still on schedule for later this year. The Spider-Man's Into the Spider-Verse sequel, Across the Spider-Verse, that's due this year. Our first James Cameron film in many years with Avatar 2 is due later this year. I don't feel we need another Avatar film, but at the same time, it's James Cameron. I'm going to watch it because it's James fucking Cameron.
Unless he filmed them already back to back, so
right.
Lord of the Rings style.
Thor: Love and Thunder coming out, which I know a lot of people are excited for that.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm not as excited, but I'm still going to go see it because I go see the Marvel stuff because I wasn't the biggest fan of Ragnarok compared to some people, but that's just me. We have Jurassic Park Dominion coming out this year, or Jurassic World Dominion, which brings Colin Trevorrow back, and I really like Jurassic World quite a bit, so I'm kind of excited he's coming back to direct and come back to Jurassic Park. Black Panther 2 is still due later this year, as of now. The Flash, man. I mean, dude, how can you not be excited for Michael Keaton coming back as Batman? You know, I mean, that alone has me in my seat for that. And Ben Affleck is in that movie, too, as Batman. So that's going to be cool. A movie we've been waiting a long time for. And Batgirl's due out. It's still listed as 2023, but there's some people think it could get out this year. Top Gun Maverick.
No, man, Michael Keaton is going to be in it.
Oh yeah, Michael Keaton's going to be in Batgirl. Yeah, well we talked about that in the last episode. Top Gun Maverick going to finally hit Memorial Day weekend after waiting for 2 years to see this movie.
There we go.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Waited too long. I'm no longer excited for it.
Don't lie, you're excited. I'm trying to look. Of course, Doctor Strange is going to be a big follow-up to Spider-Man Far From Home. Everybody's going to be excited to see where Marvel goes next with that story. Bob's Burgers, that's a very popular TV show. I saw the trailer. It's hilarious. You know, that's coming out this year. Dude, they're making another Ice Age movie? I didn't know that. I just pulled up a list and was looking at some stuff that's coming out this year. Anything? What are you guys most excited about this year besides Batman?
Scream 5.
Yeah. After the ratings all started hitting the last couple of days, I'm like, yeah.
Where we're going, we don't need ratings. I don't know.
Thor. I want to see how Natalie Portman fits into the movie.
Oh yeah, I'm always down for some Natalie.
Yeah. Supposedly she's playing a female Thor, which it was a really good comic book series in 2015.
Yeah. Where she has cancer.
Yeah. She has cancer, but, you know, but when she's Thor, she doesn't have the cancer, but only when she reverts to her normal self.
Right.
It's a really good series. Really good art, too. I want to see how that's portrayed.
Right.
Not expecting the cancer part, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, they might change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Batman, obviously, and Top Gun.
No Godzilla movie.
I'm actually two Tom Cruise movies. I'm actually looking forward to Top Gun and Mission Impossible 7. I really like the Mission Impossible series. Looking forward to Jurassic World because, you know, I'm always down for some dinosaurs. Even though Fallen Kingdom was kind of a mess, but I still didn't hate the movie. You know, I enjoyed it.
Hocus Pocus 2.
Yeah, I don't even like to, I don't.
I've never seen the movie.
It's nostalgia.
No, it's not. Hocus Pocus is one of those bad movies that people suddenly, because of the internet the last few years, turn it into like this cult classic. It's not good, though, people. You know, at least usually with cult classics, they're still kind of good. Hocus Pocus isn't good, but people turn it into this cult classic. But that's what the internet does for you. I've never
seen it.
I saw it once. That was enough. It's just not very good. God, you threw me off my train of thought. Hocus fucking Pocus. Oh, Lightyear. Jeepers. The Pixar film. That looks interesting.
Lightyear.
Yeah, Lightyear looks interesting. You know, always down for some Disney and Pixar. That's all I can think of. Top of my head, those are probably my favorites. Matt, got a couple you picked that you're looking forward to this year?
Yeah. I just saw one. Halloween Ends is coming out. I want to see how it ends. I'm curious.
Until 5 years from now, when it Halloween ends again.
Yeah. Halloween Ends again. Yeah. They're like, we're going to keep doing it.
Dude, they were already saying, I'm not to interrupt you, but remember at the end of Machete Kills and they do the little fake trailer for Machete Kills again in space? Yeah. People are already saying, okay, now that Danny Trejo is in fucking Star Wars, it's like, all right, Robert Rodriguez, we got to make Machete Kills in space now.
That'd be awesome if he killed in space. But yeah, and you know what? For the kids, the DC Superdog movie looks fun.
Yeah, it looks kind of fun. I saw a trailer for that. Yeah, it looked pretty fun. So. Oh, and the Flash too, of course.
Looking forward to that. Yeah. So.
Cool, cool, man. Good stuff in 2022. And as far as the show goes in 2022, we're just going to keep bringing you all hopefully fun episodes, fun movies. We're going to hit 300 episodes sometime in June. And we will obviously stay with our trend of Star Wars and cover Return of the Jedi for our 300th episode. And always can go to our Facebook page and tell us if there's any movies you guys want us to cover, because there's lots we haven't done. We've got some cool stuff planned, some movies we haven't done yet, so it should be fun this year. And we're going to start next week, man. We're going to celebrate Long's birthday as he turns 27. And Long picked a good movie, man. We're going to talk Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
The Klingon Empire has 50 years of life left to it.
To offer Klingons a safe haven within Federation space is suicide.
They're animals.
Jim, they are dying.
You, Captain Kirk, are to be our first olive branch.
Me?
The galaxy stands at a crossroads.
This is the Starship Enterprise. We've been ordered to escort you to your meeting on Earth.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
I have so wanted to meet you, Captain. One warrior to another?
Right. On the verge of peace.
The undiscovered country. The future.
On the brink of war.
We come in peace, and you blatantly defy that.
We haven't fired.
According to our databanks, we have.
I shall blow you out of the stars.
Now, the crew of the Starship Enterprise
will not be the instigators of full-scale war on the eve of universal peace.
They're coming about.
Battle stations.
Fights not to win battles.
Incoming.
Signal our surrender.
Captain?
We surrender.
But to end them forever.
We would consider
An attempt to rescue them, an act of war.
There will never be a better time.
This is Captain Sulu, USS Excelsior. I stand ready to assist you.
This is fun.
You do prefer it this way, as it was meant to be. Warrior to warrior.
She cannot take much more of this!
Cry havoc!
Kill!
And let's slip the dogs of war!
Fire!
Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
And Long has always been a big Star Trek fan, and that's okay. I like Star Trek too. And this is the second time you picked a Star Trek movie for your birthday, by the way.
Yeah, Star Trek II was.
Yeah, you did Star Trek II. But a quick preview. I always remember seeing Star Trek VI because, for some reason, when this came out, there was something else out, and I went and saw it by myself, and I think my dad went to see something else. Because I don't know, for some reason, he didn't want to see Star Trek, which is weird. Or I did see it with my dad, I think it was. And I remember seeing this in theaters and just really enjoying it. And I think I want to almost say this is the Star Trek movie that kind of made me a Star Trek fan. Because I really wasn't real familiar with Star Trek until Six came out. Like, I had seen them, but I hadn't really, really watched them. Because, you know, remember, this came out in the height of the Next Generation popularity, too. Next Generation was on TV, and they brought the old crew back for one more movie. And Star Trek V wasn't well received at all. People thought Star Trek was dead, but they gave him one more swan song with this final movie. So that's kind of some of my memories of it. And the Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, next week as we celebrate Long's birthday on the show, and that'll be fun. Looking forward to it.
So, heck yeah! I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts, especially Matt's thoughts on it.
Yeah, I've only seen two of those Star Wars films. I saw the Voyage Home.
Star Trek, you mean?
Star Trek.
It's on Hulu. It is on Hulu, and it's on Paramount Plus. There's a couple places you can watch it.
So. Okay, I've got both.
And that's next week on the show. But until then, the RebelRadioPodcast.com. That's where you can find all your needs. And we thank you for listening and coming into the new year with us. And we thank you for all your support. As always, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, your favorite New Year's baby.
And just like always, remember just to continue to go there and do it.
Do it.